it's actually yukta vairagya. So it's not that bhakti is without vairagya, but it has appropriate vairagya, which is yukta vairagya. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga. Yeah, that is one way of understanding it. Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu. There is another query from Lalitangi Mataji. Lalitangi Mataji is asking, Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for the enlightening class. It looks like Yukta Vairagya is more difficult than Vairagya. Can you comment on this, Prabhuji, please?
Well, in one sense, let's go back to the definition of Yukta Vairagya. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's simplified definition. Let's read it and let's try to understand, is it really that difficult? He says, I'm going to read this practical definition of Yukta Vairagya by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says that alternatively, if they place the Lord in the center of their life, while caring for the body and the house, while eating, while sleeping, then they gradually increase their devotion to the Lord through their devotional practice. Finally, ultimately, prema will be achieved. So in Vairagya, you are not allowed to eat sufficiently, sleep sufficiently, care for your body sufficiently. You must be detached from your house. Is that difficult? Or just bring Gaur Nithai or Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, place them at the center, cook for them, care for them, along with the care for your body, care for your house. You can also honor their remnants. And you can take rest with them also. I mean, not with them, but you can put them to rest and you can also rest. Right? All that is allowed. So why would Yukta Vairagya be more difficult than regular Vairagya? So that's my understanding.
Consciousness, Prabhuji. Yes, we are doing everything. How fully conscious we are. How much
well,
we are doing it. We are again.
Krishna is not expecting that consciousness immediately. So whatever little consciousness you can muster, do it. And we gradually try to improve. But and in Vairagya also, you know, to maintain, there is no proper consciousness in Vairagya only. But here, I mean, it's not that absolutely you do everything Krishna's service. Sometimes you may be able to do, sometimes you may not be able to do. But at least when we are not able to do, we repent and we beg forgiveness to Krishna and we try to move ahead. So Krishna is not expecting any overnight perfection. And overnight perfection is not possible also. And we should not be too harsh on ourselves, expecting overnight perfection also. It's a gradual process, gradually. Krameneva praliyeta Vishnu Bhakti Ratatmanam. It's all gradual.
Shyamagauri Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very, very wonderful class, Prabhuji, and very nice question answers. As always, here when you come, we are like waiting when Prabhuji is coming to give class. So that's the situation. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. When you were saying about the prasadam, I remember the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya taking prasadam in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave prasadam with Lord Jagannath. Means we don't have to follow any rules and regulations for taking prasadam. And as you said, like, you know, you don't have to reject the prasadam. You can eat a little bit of prasadam like that. So sometimes we see, Prabhuji, some people, they have some other faith, they reject prasadam.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much we trick them to eat prasadam, they just reject prasadam. So unfortunate people like that.
Yeah, it's It's actually an offense to reject prasadam, actually.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you, Shyamagauri Mataji. Sukha Mataji has Raz hand raised. Prabhuji, can we take one more question from Sukha Mataji?
Yeah.
Sukha Mataji, please go ahead with your question.
Hi, Krishna Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam. Such a beautiful class. In fact, it did take me some time because my question, I'm not able to articulate it well, but I hope you can help me with that. You had mentioned that you know, a person needs to have initial Shraddha, right? The Adho Shraddha, before he can take to the process of Bhakti, and then the process of Vairagya is kind of massaged because of his love for Krishna, like you gave the example of the father and the son. So I was wondering, you know, what about souls who may not have that initial faith, Prabhuji? Then everything becomes a chore, right? I mean, even in the practice of Vaidhi Bhakti, a devotee may have that initial Shraddha, but later on kind of feels a little encumbered by all those regulations and things like that. So how should we, in what perspective can we look at this situation and try to like better ourselves?
Well, one can follow to the extent that one has that faith. See, a feeling of encumbrance will be there because we don't have taste for it. But at least we may not have taste for the process, but we may have that attachment for the end product, which is a relationship with Krishna. So, I mean, which is the process? The taste, the encumbrance, do you think a Jnana Yogi will not feel encumbered? A Karma Yogi will not feel encumbered? Materialist, will he not feel encumbered? You know, if someone wants to become a doctor, then who likes studying? There are very rare souls in this world who actually like studying, you know, all these things. But they do study because there is some attachment to the goal, you know, to the end product that comes from studying all that. So is there any process in this world where people are not encumbered by the means? I don't think there is any process, but just they keep going because of their attachment towards the goal, what they can achieve through that means. So as long as we have reasonable attachment towards the means, Krishna does not say that faith may be there, but then definitely because of our conditioning, the practice of devotional service will be at various times not so pleasant, bitter sometimes, but still the end product is always sweet. So we can have our eyes set on the sweet end product so that we can tolerate some bitterness. And it's not going to remain bitter. Gradually, it will become more and more pleasurable. Swadvi kramat bhavati tadgata moolahantri. You know, gradually, it will become more and more pleasurable. But there will always be an intermediate time when it will not be very troubled. And I don't think there is anything in this world where you get to have the pleasure while performing it, and there is pleasure while enjoying the end result also. So, yeah, that's what I feel.
So would I be right in assuming that only at the higher stages, you know, when we have pure bhakti, is the definition that, you know, it's devoid of jnana and vairagya applicable, and susukham kartam avyayam applicable? I mean, because when somebody is a practicing sadhaka, he or she may not experience this.
Well, let me ask you something, Mataji. Many times in first thing, jnana karma the anavritam applicable right from the beginning, you know, because as of now, even in this stage, if you think that apart from the limbs of bhakti, I should practice some jnana, some karma, some limbs of yoga also to achieve perfection, that understanding should not be there right from the beginning. But you talk about susukam kartam avyayam, it is pleasurable to perform. Well, these are all relative. Pleasurable means what? If you define pleasure as the pleasure of prema, is that the pleasure we are talking about? Because susukam, sukam is a relative term. We are comparing with other processes which can give comparable benefits. Actually, there is no process which can give comparable benefits to what bhakti can give. Let us say jnana and yoga as comparable because they can give at least liberation of some sorts. So now compared, isn't bhakti easy to perform? From a very neutral perspective, looking at the activities which are expected of a bhakti yogi, where there is ample scope for engaging one's senses, even there are 64 limbs, and even within 64 limbs, there is multiple varieties, and in any of these limbs you can engage. This kind of an opportunity is there in which other yoga? So therefore, many times the terminologies are not used in a very absolute sense. So when Krishna says susukam, he does not mean that right from the beginning one will experience the bliss of prema. Susukam is a very relative usage of the terminology, where one will experience, it is much more pleasurable than practice of jnana or yoga in that sense, actually.
Thank you, Prabhuji. I have one follow-on. Is it okay to ask?
Yeah, one last question, Mataji. Then I have, in exactly 10 minutes, I have my next class. So if you can, yeah, last question.
Sure, Prabhuji. We recently had a devotee, like somebody who, has joined the Krishna Conscious Movement. And in one Bhagavatam session, this devotee asked, so you said, Prabhupada says it's all about chant and be happy, so why are we reading and doing all this? I feel that this is too much beyond what was actually, portrayed to me. So, he or she felt that the process is kind of a little bit more complex than what it appears to be. So,
Of course, what exactly did Prabhupada mean by chant and be happy is something which is debated upon. Are there two instructions involved, or is there one instruction? Is it like chant and you will be happy? Is that? Or is it like, are there two instructions? Chant, first instruction. Be happy, second instruction. So what exactly it is that, many people are trying to understand that. But the point is that, chant and be happy, first thing, we should have faith in that chanting. So when there is absolute faith in chanting, then as Rupa Goswami says, I don't know how much bliss is there, is two syllables Krishna. And when I chant it, I feel so blissful that I feel like I need thousands of tongues to chant it. It is there. The potential is there. But to realize that potential, we have to chant it with faith. And how do you get that faith? We get faith through hearing only. So when you hear about the glories of chanting, then you chant with all the more faith. And also there are certain obstacles to chanting which may affect, obstruct us from actually experiencing that bliss. So those obstacles can be removed through various other practices like archanam, like that. But this topic we could discuss, how each limb actually contributes to that during sadhana bhakti. We could discuss it someday, but they are all very complementary processes. Unlike the Ashtanga Yoga, where 8 limbs are there, and 8 limbs are absolutely compulsory limbs, all have to be practiced. But in bhakti, you can, there are a few limbs which you can practice minimum, and the other limbs which you like, you can practice a lot actually. So in one sense, yeah.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very beautiful question and answer session. Very beautiful class, Prabhu. Thank you so much. There are so many beautiful comments from Shivani Mataji, Shushmita Mataji, Shihari Gadi Mataji, Lalitangi Mataji. Everybody is loving your class. Thank you so much, Prabhu. In the interest of time, you have to go. You have another class, you just said. So, dear devotees, pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji, again for your time and so much nectar that you give us for all the time that you come to us. So, we look forward for your association again, Prabhuji. Let us pay our obeisances to Prabhuji, dear devotees. Vancha kalpataru
vancha kalpataru prasada
namo namah shrimad bhagavatam ki
jai
shila prabhupada ji ki
jai
is grace balaram shakti prabhuji ki
jai.
Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you, dear devotees, for joining. Thank you so much to Prabhuji for his very, very valuable time. We'll end the call here. We won't have parikrama today, and we'll continue with it tomorrow. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.